Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Part 3 in our ongoing look at the books of Daniel and Revelation. On this episode, we have studied Daniel before, and we've studied Revelation before, but tonight, and as we have done for the last couple of Bible studies, we are merging the two books to see if we can make a single book out of what we read there. And guess what? We can get pretty close to accomplishing that. Daniel was a man in the dispersion. John was a man in exile. Daniel was given visions and a visitation from angels. John was taken up of the Spirit and shown visions. Both Daniel and John lived under the rule of men who qualified as types of Antichrist. Both men were supernaturally protected as they ministered. Both men witnessed end times events that are still future, and both men prophesied of the Jews in the tribulation. Daniel was told to seal up his book of prophecy until it was time. Revelation opens a seven-sealed book and says, "It is time." At the end of Revelation, a man who looks a whole lot like Daniel shows up for a Bible study with John, and when they do, the command to, quote, "seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand," end quote, is given. Wild, crazy, off the charts? You better believe it. And tonight, in part 3, we examine the literal explosion of knowledge and the instantaneous travel we all take on a daily basis. The Bible says in Daniel 12, verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here tonight. And for everybody who will listen in the archives, God, we are glad, we're grateful to be on the front line serving and ministering. And Lord, as we gather yet again, as we have done these past 13 years by way of radio, and we open up your book, we invite you, Lord, to meet with us and lead us and guide us into all Bible truth as we lift up your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. So glad that you are here today. We had a great time at Bethany Baptist Church today, and God is continuing to bless, we have literally tripled the size of the congregation in the past month, and it was exciting to see yet again all the empty seats beginning to be filled up, and such a good spirit that's there. If you find yourself in St. Augustine or Jacksonville any Wednesday night, any Sunday morning, Sunday school 10 o'clock, Sunday service 11 a.m., and Wednesday night Bible study starting at 7 p.m., we invite you to come and worship with us, and many NTEBers have been doing just that. Today, we had Mike Hensel and his sister. Many of you know, and we've been praying for his mom for a long time. Well, Mike Hensel's mom went home to be with the Lord last week, and the viewing is on Tuesday. The funeral itself is on Wednesday. But you know what they wanted to do before they get involved with any of that stuff? They wanted to come to St. Augustine, Florida, to meet me and to meet Lori Ann and to spend time with us. Because where do you go when you really need comfort. You go to your family. And Mike got saved on one of our Bible study programs about 3 years ago. And we are his family, and it's a blessing. And he is part of our family. And so we had a great time with Mike and his sister. We went out to eat last night, and they met us at the bookstore. And they really didn't have that much time to spend, but they're going to come out for the camp meeting. They are actually listening while driving home to Ohio right now. So please keep Mike and his sister in your prayers that they get home safely. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, if you've been through it, if you've lost a mother, if you've lost a father, you know it's a hard, hard thing to go through. I can remember at my father's funeral, which last Thursday was 20... Well, no, that's the day he died. His funeral would have been right around this week sometime. He died in the same town that he was born and raised and went to high school in. And so at his funeral, there were so many people, it was overwhelming. And I was very glad and appreciative of the outpouring of love and affection and condolences, but I was exhausted and I was really, really overwhelmed. So please keep Mike and his sister in your prayers for Traveling Mercies. And definitely when they get home on Tuesday and Wednesday, just pray that the Lord will give them comfort and courage and strength to go through everything that they need to go through. And Lorianne and I had such a blessing spending time with them. And I really hope and pray that they can make it to the camp meeting. My message at Bethany Baptist Church this morning was on Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and the coming king. And we looked at so many scriptures today showing that he was a prophet, that he was a priest, and that he's coming as a king. And the whole message centered around those six beautiful words in Matthew 14, verses 30 and 31. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yeah! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah!
The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith?
Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your head. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now.
Because you prayed all night, because you held on all your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows.
but he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep, but try to be patient, cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. My life was all red. Yes, it was with
at the bottom of the hour. We're going to go into our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it into the chat room, and we will lift it up as a church family to the Lord.
The preacher got up and said, "Stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone." But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. "I need to know before we pray." An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life? Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear
an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, "Sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand." When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your
hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear
an unspoken request. Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear
an unspoken request.
Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price. We pray for Glenn Clark and Jeanette's family. We pray for Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, and two great grandbabies, Trista and Tara, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved members of the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck. In the Weers-Bickey family, we're praying for Valerie and Marie, and Greg Jr. and Greg Sr. Jeffrey's children, Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, and grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob's unsaved Catholic family members, Connie's three unsaved kids, Brandy, unsaved family, Rita in Colorado praying for Dan, Ron for salvation, Spray of Sunshine's children, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian, Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M., David Lacker, Bonnie, please pray for my 5 children, 17 grandchildren, and 14 great-grandchildren, Paul Caulfield, asked prayer for a man he witnessed to named Olmo. Barbara, praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer praying for her best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Beth, Ethan, and Haley. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany. Grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody. Mark Sherlock praying for Savannah and mom, Stephanie. Werner Bukes for Bob and Abby. Junie Grant and their dad. Kathy Hughes' son. Haley C. praying for Zane. Lulu, unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to be saved. Many members in the Giacomino family. Dawn D. praying for David. Paul Caulfield for his brother-in-law, Frank. Ramona Hayes praying for her daughter, Kimberly, to be saved and delivered from alcohol. And salvation prayer for grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea P. for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife, Shayna, Lori B. Shira McPherson praying for children, Scott, Sherry, and Nicole. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin. Mark Fennell. Kevin Thompson praying for his father, Tim, and other family members. Steve Graves, Elga. Phyllis T. for her husband, Rob, praying for his children, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Todd Broom's brother, Thad. Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie for parents, sister, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews. Joe Russiello praying for his mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen praying for grandsons Braden and Logan. His Grace praying for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason and Rachel, Jason and Carrie. Lola's son William and wife Lindsay, Hannah's mom. Anja praying for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans praying for Taylor. Viviana for her brother Javier Reyes. Adam and Katie for their neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates for her sons Kenny and Matthew. Jane praying for her son Troy. Julie Lynn for her friend Katie Ann Chona. For Estefano Jr., Eugenia and her children, Marisol and Cherry, and Chona's siblings, Julia and Maria Tricia. Chuck Edgerton for his son Jacob and his mom, Lynette. Samantha praying for Beth, Deborah Hare, unsaved family. People with unsaved family, Rita, Teresa. Lisa praying for John, Annabelle, unsaved children. Deborah Milton's son, Billy, Hap Nightingale. Praying for his sons, Jimmy and Zach. Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia. Norman Merkel, praying for daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and for Lynette Crew. Henrik Larson, he wants prayer for his parents, Kygel and Elizabeth, sister and her spouse, Ingrid and Frederick, and his mom's Aunt Barrett. Roz, lost family members, Brian needs to get saved, Andrew Whittington. Marisol Barcina for Catholic family members. Rapture 57, unsaved families. Gail praying for Jim. Shirley Meador praying for her brother and his wife. Eric Brian Huey for his parents Anna and Norvillo, members of his family and co-workers. Tony the Carpenter and his son Cole. Kenny B. for unsaved family. Rachel K., Sandra C., Marky Mark, unsaved family. Regina Danner for Kellyanne, Richard, Wayne, and Sandra, Haley's aunt and family. Carol from Georgia would like to see her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey get saved. The Breida family, Stacy Bunton for her husband, Rachel Adams for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Kerry, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley, Mark praying for Michael, Matthew, Mason, and Michaela. Mitch praying for his daughters, Rachel, Hannah, and their husbands. The delivery people who service the bookstore, please pray for them. Jericho for his family, Brenda's husband, Paul. Kenny, friends and family. Amanda for Melanie and Payton. The Muto family, Steph praying for Michael, Terry for her family. Xavier for mom, Reyes, wife Selma, and other family members. Maria Silva for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela. Donna Lynn's children, Shannon, Todd, Caitlin, and Jake. Tiffany Brown for her mother-in-law, the La Piana family, for extended family members, Dave Evans for Diana, Sue Duchesne's son, Norman, CJ's mom, Shira McPherson for Kevin, Michelle, and Lewis, Loretta Watsney's children and husband, Rebecca Lynn for Joel Smith, Shirley praying for Marie, Haley, Patricia, Jaden, Richard, Patricia S., Joshua, Ruby, Gerald, Josiah, Monice, and her husband, Hamid, Marianne Ellie's children, and John and Marie and Christine, and her grandchildren, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Tracy and Ralph Wallace, please pray for Ethan, Shanna, and Caden. Beth Peck's husband, David, as well as children, Heather and Damien, and in-laws, Barb and Jack. Terry Ewing's daughter, Bryn. Teresa M.'s sons, James, Frank, and Peter. Jose De La Rosa's mom, Alicia. Patricia T. for her son, Adam. Chelsea and Brian Plagman for son, Bryce, and girlfriend, Eva. Zuzana. Vladimira. Excuse me. Vladimira for her husband, Ken, and friend, Katka. Steph for her brother, Michael. Cassandra. Husband, Todd, and sons, Nathan and Andrew, as well as Sonny. Marie Sim for her ex-husband, who's a Mason. For her children, John, daughter Tracy, and their families to get saved. Jean-Paul Mesa for Catholic mom. Deborah Mack, John and Brenda for salvation. Zach Jeffson's mother. Katrina, Chelsea P. for Mike T. Mia for children, Kimberly, Danielle, and AJ. Holly, please add my husband, Nick. Rob, friend Eddie. Deborah Mack for my friend Brandy, Char for mom and family, Linda for Richard Kitzmiller, Heather W. for daughter Sophia, Carly Hamill says, please pray salvation for my Catholic family in Maine, my Catholic family in California, and my Congolese family who are just learning. Angela Moffitt for 22-year-old son Matthew, Brooke, please add my best friend Courtney and her husband James, Veronica Higginbotham, please pray for my younger son, Gustav Isgrig. He's lost in Norse mythology, and he is the brother of David Korick, who was on our sit-down podcast last Wednesday. Now, I would like to add a special prayer request. We have been praying for my brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, and I believe that Jimmy received the gospel, though it's a little complicated. We're not 100% sure. I don't know whether to keep him on or take him off the salvation list, but John, Jimmy, and David, please pray for their salvation. My niece, Melissa, she made a profession of salvation years ago, and I was there the night that she got saved and got baptized, and all these years later, she has rediscovered her desire to read the Bible. So please pray for my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David. Please pray for my niece, Melissa, and she is excited about learning and sends me these great text messages. And she listens to many of these programs. So please pray for her. And also, I want to add a new name to the list. I have a daughter from many years ago, back in the 1980s, and while I was living in California, and it's a long, complicated situation, and it's a very private situation, but I have prayed for her for many, many years to get saved. Her name is Christy, and if you could just please put Christy on your prayer list. I have never mentioned her before. I have been praying for her, like I said, for years and years. But the Lord just put on my heart to put her on the prayer list. So if you could please pray for my daughter, Christy, to get saved, I would very much appreciate that. All right, let's go to the healing list. And lots of people on that list. At the top of the list, Drina Peacock. She's the wife of Jacksonville pastor David Peacock, and we have heard from multiple sources that she is very sick, too sick to attend church. She is battling lung cancer. She is the sweetest, nicest person. Please pray for Drina Peacock to have a healing. I think it's lung cancer, but I honestly don't know. Please pray for her to get a healing from the Lord. Lori Ann says, please keep my mom Joyce in your prayer. She's been battling cancer and chemo for a couple of weeks now. That's my mother-in-law. Joe and Linda, looks like they're moving to Tennessee. And the Lord is still working things out. Linda was in church today. Joe is in Tennessee. And we would be very sad to see them go. But it looks like the Lord has opened a door for them. So please keep the entire La Piana family, Joe and Linda and Caitlin, keep them all in your prayers, please. Julie, please pray for me. We're under attack and need prayer. We really need prayer warriors to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Julie Baird, my Aunt Dee has COVID pneumonia and a blockage in her intestines. Krista, she has 4 tumors in her chest and she has stopped answering text messages. I can only, her husband says that they're doing the best that they can. They have moved back to Illinois to be closer to her family. Please keep my friend Krista, her husband, and their beautiful 4 children in your prayers. Gail, please pray for Katie. She needs a liver transplant. Rick Reynolds, please pray for my daughters, Carrie, Abby, Grace, and grandbaby Lilia. And there's nothing else with this prayer request. I don't even know what the prayers are for. But I don't have to know because the Lord knows. Amanda Emaw, battling cancer and chemo. Annetta, praying, she had a stroke in 2022, praying for a complete healing for Annetta. George H. has health issues. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis. James Rivette, recovering from addiction and mental health issues. Robert Wiley, battling ALS. Jill Puckett, losing her vision. Paul Caulfield, type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp, battling autism. Dan Kane, his wife Roxy has MS and son Jonathan needs prayer. Rob, my friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik has cancer. Mark Seals has health issues. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy, severe arthritis, diabetes type 2, fatty liver. Catherine B., please pray for her to be able to get off of dialysis. Michelle Christian has bone cancer. Rob Beatty has stage 4 liver cancer. And I just want to read a little bit of a message exchange that I had with him a couple of days ago. Give me just a moment to pull it up. And as many of you know, Rob Beatty is a longtime NTEB-er going all the way back to the very beginning. And he is battling stage 4 cancer. And let me just see if I can get this. He says here, I'm praying for your brother Jimmy. I have reached the limits of what I can handle. This time I can see the growth from the outside and it continues to get larger. It's metastatic and I've known that since day 1. He says, I don't want to live like this because that's no life at all. God knows that too and I can't wait to see him. It's been 51 weeks since I went septic, and I'm praying it is still in his hands. And he says, we always have the rapture, don't we, brother? And I wrote back and I said, yes, sir, we certainly do. Rob Beatty going through this with a fantastic attitude, and he is an amazing witness. He knows where he's going, and he's excited to get there. Please keep Rob Beatty in your prayer. Melissa B's husband, Brian, stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda for her eyesight. Casey is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane would like us to pray for her parents and brother to get saved and for her husband to have a healing. Jackie H., she wants God's favor regarding her ex and custody of her son. Vladimir's friend Katka suffers from ALS. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has vasculitis. Stacy going through a divorce. Terry Horn, please pray for me. I've had several strokes. Casey, not the same woman as earlier. Please keep my husband on your prayer list. He is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Tom Rantz continues to recover from a stroke and a brain bleed. Julius, thank you for praying for my mom, Erlinda, and my niece, Rochelle, for medical issues. A little girl named Bertie had a stroke and a seizure. Jeanette's sister, Kathy, recovering from health issues, including eye surgery. Also keep her husband and Aunt Linda in prayer for macular degeneration. Teresa G. also has macular degeneration. Wayne has cancer, not sure if he's saved. Ashley DeShields continues to recover from West Nile virus. Linda Benjamin, prayer for her overall health and for memory problems. Berta and Mike Crabb, health issues and the healing. Irma has had tumors and surgery on her bladder, but she's still going through more treatment. Jerry Magua, he wants us to pray for his sister-in-law, Nikki, in Cape Town, South Africa. She took the vax. She has lung cancer. She's not responding to treatment. She's Greek Orthodox. So please pray for a healing and for salvation. Regina Danner's asking for healing for Wayne and Linda and son, Chris. Rob says, please pray for my friend, AJ, who had surgery on Friday. Wade Thiessen, please pray for Pastor McDonald from Shererville, Indiana, having dizziness and face tingling. Jason Stravers, please add Taylor Jack to the list. He is a young blind boy that I got to pray for and pray with while waiting to pick up my son at school. Derek O'Reilly's mother had a throat infection. And we prayed for that last week. Have not heard how she is doing, but keep her in your prayer anyway. Christy Ireland. Oh, ladies who are expecting. Christy Ireland, and it looks, tomorrow it's going to be 37 weeks, and it looks like the baby is wanting to come out. So please pray for Christy, for her health, for her body, for the doctors, for the nurses, for the baby, for the dad. It looks like she's going to be giving birth sooner rather than later. Char's daughter, Miranda, Sandra Carbonera's friend, Jordan P., Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, Spray of Sunshine says, my son and his girlfriend are expecting twins. Mark Saxa, please pray for my son Joseph to return to the Lord. Sean, we need the attorney to get the funds released so I can finish repairing my home from damage from Hurricane Ian. John Walker and his wife would like prayer for their gospel track ministry and for their private school. Many prayer requests in the Lacker family, son David for salvation, her disabled son for protection, husband for salvation, healing for a marriage, and also for various health issues for Jan. Char still waiting for their jail ministry in their church to be reopened in the prison up in Coquille, Oregon. Julie Baird, please pray for my living situation and finances. Deborah Mack for Devin Miller, Lost Lake Lass for son Tristan. Linda LaPiana for children Stephen, Danielle, and Christopher. Dina Kruger for son Jordan Shapiro. He's studying in Japan until May. Please pray for his safety and salvation. Amen. Daniel B., please pray that I would understand God's word more clearly. And Karen says, I have applied for a job at the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. Amen. People with an unspoken, the LaPiana family, Dave M. in New Jersey, Bill in Maryland, simply write, the Lord knows. Amen. Jeanette, Adrian P. Breida, Debbie Mathias, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Blaine, and we're so excited. The other day he posted a praise report that he put a deposit down for the assisted housing, and what a blessing that is. And we're going to have to send him a nice little housewarming present when all that goes through. Maybe a nice big King James Bible to put on the table, because we've been praying about that for him for over 2 years. And the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Carol from Georgia, Jennifer, Ron M., Erad Bairumumishu, Bonnie, Marie Comfort, Marie C., Steph, Rob, Mona and Leah, Angela, Brooke, Lulu, Linda Pippin, Andrew, and Lorianne. Please remember our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. I'll have an update later. Please remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors John Redani and Arnell, Pastor Fo John in Vietnam, in Turkey. Luann is an American missionary. In India, Pastor David Mark. In the UK, Stephen McCarroll. In Uganda, Erad Bairumumishu. And in Spain, we have Xavier. Please remember our NTEB street preachers. Up in New York City at the King James Bible Baptist Church is Brian Kelly. Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge. Marie in Philadelphia. Mike Abram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Jay, New York City. Joe Russiello, Eagle Pass. Joshua Gaskins in Virginia. And Aaron and Teresa McMahon of CPR Missions out of Tennessee. Up in Canada, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breida, Werner Bukes in South Africa, Arthur Hueys, and in Australia, Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. Let's go to the chat room and see what we have here tonight. Robs, please pray for health issues. Mia from Texas, still need prayers for God's favor in the soon decision of my Social Security disability claim. Jeanette, I still need a morning caregiver. Cephas says, you just reminded me, please pray for my wife. Amen. Andrew, unspoken. Annette, my mother / Catholic indoctrination, she is not well. My mother was a Roman Catholic all her life. And I shared the gospel with her when I got saved in 91. And it wasn't until she was days away from dying on her deathbed that she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about if she's Catholic or not. She is a soul, and Jesus died to save the souls of sinners. And just take your King James Bible and go and read some scripture to her. And then talk to her about it. Forget about her being a Catholic. That is beside the point. And we'll be very, very happy to continue to pray for her to get saved. Juanita, unspoken prayer request. Lots going on. Amen. Regina Danner, please pray for two lost people, brother and sister, both tied up with drugs and in jail. Veronica Higginbotham Corrick. David asking prayer for finances and for finding a place for him and his fiance Kaylee. So we're adding David Corrick to the prayer list. Jory in Georgia, please pray for my sons and I to stand strong in Jesus and to do his will always, and for their daddy too. Thank you so much. I love you all, and we love you too. Deborah Mack, hey guys, I could use some prayer and possibly on some good new things. It's an unspoken. Annabelle, praise report. My brother Gerald, that we've all been praying for, is out of the hospital and doing miraculously well. Thank you all for your prayers. We love you all. Amen. We love you too. And lastly, please keep Mike Hensel and his sister on the prayer list, as they travel home today and tomorrow from St. Augustine, Florida to Ohio. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, and for all of these prayers and all of these requests. And Lord, isn't it an amazing thing that you can hear each and every one? You can respond at the perfect time with the perfect response. And Lord, we just look to you tonight. We so very much want to see our family members and loved ones get saved. We so very, very much want to see you do a work in these people's lives. And for the people who need a healing with broken bodies and battling disease and illness and cancer, Father God, we just commit all of this to you. And say, if you don't do it, it won't get done. If you don't give it to us, we won't have it. And we confess our dependence upon you. We throw ourselves at your feet and say, Abba, Father, take it. Take it from us. Take it off us. And please answer all of these prayers, large and small, for your glory, for our good, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. All right, when we get back, we have an update on Bibles Behind Bars, and we're going to get right into our Bible study tonight. We are looking part 3, Daniel and Revelation, and tonight we're going to look at the explosion of knowledge, and we're going to blow your mind just a little bit more. We say it all the time, we'll say it again, we are not a church. We are the church. Welcome to church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us. It's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you.
Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love, our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church.
If you want.
all set and ready to go for our Bible study tonight, part three in our ongoing look at Daniel and Revelation. And we have a lot to talk about. We are going to be hyper focused on Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But before we get there, let me just give you an update. We've been telling you about these seven different ministries that in the month of March, they have just had a huge need for Bibles, New Testament, scripture portions, and gospel tracts. And we started, the Lord put it on my heart about a week and a half ago that we were just going to, by faith, we're going to send these Bibles out. And we're sending out just the first bunch of them, 2,600 Bibles and 500 scripture portions. And we're going to be sending these Bibles and scripture portions to the Stone County Regional Correctional Facility, the Sebastian County Adult Detention Center, Lawrence County Detention Center, the East Alabama Medical Center, and right here in St. Augustine, the St. John's County Jail. And we are sending out enough Bibles for every inmate in every one of those facilities. And we started to do a little fundraiser for that. On Friday, we were at 75%. And today, I am happy to say we are at 90% of the funds that we need to send out these Bibles to the places that I just mentioned to you. Now, did you know that we also supply Bibles to dozens and dozens of small ministry groups who go to the streets, the jails, the homeless shelters? Groups like Mercy Missions Outreach Center in Kentucky, Second Chance Ministries in Tennessee, and financial support for boots on the ground groups like CPR Missions, Aaron and Teresa McMahon in Tennessee. We are a much needed supply line. We provide Bibles, New Testaments, scripture portions, and gospel tracts wherever and whenever that they are needed. Now, I believe in this mission so very much that the Lord put on my heart, starting next week, I'm going to be, Bethany Baptist Church is paying me a salary of $800 per month to preach at the church. They said it will go up when more people start coming in. And I mean, that's the way it works in any church. Now, the Lord put on my heart, he said, you take that check, whatever it is, and you donate that to Bibles Behind Bars. I get my first check next week. I'm all in. I'm absolutely all in, and I'm going to donate every penny of what Bethany Baptist Church gives me, and I'm going to put all of it into Bibles Behind Bars. And look, the time is short. The harvest fields are set and ready to go. And we need to be about our Father's business. So if you would like to help us to do this, we got another 10% left to raise. I believe that we will do it in the next day or so, hopefully, Lord willing. But if you would like to help us to do this, and almost immediately after this fundraiser is done, we've already had 2, 3, 4 other jails and prisons reach out to tell us that they need Bibles. It never stops. It never ends. And we are in it for, well, for good. We're in it all the way in it. And we are coming up on 300,000. Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions, 300,000. And if you'd like to help us to do this, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a donation, large or small. If God has prospered you, donate and be generous. We really need your help to continue to do this. And I told you at the end of the podcast on Friday that as soon as the podcast was done, I was going to get on the phone and I was going to issue the order for those Bibles. And I did that last Friday, and that those orders are being processed this week. So please pray for every one of those thousands of Bibles and hundreds of scripture portions that we're sending out, that every person who receives them will get saved and will have a changed life in Jesus Christ. Annette is asking, who is our printer? Our printer is Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And they have been our printer since 2022. And we are very happy to partner with them. They give us beautiful Bibles at amazing prices. And it is perfect for the jails and the prisons. So please, if God has prospered you, go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a donation. Oh, American made? Yes. Made right here in America, in the heartland, in Tennessee. All right, let's get going with tonight's Bible study. Let's get going with tonight's Bible study. Where are we going to start first? Well, let's start in Daniel 12:4. We need to set the context. Let's start in Daniel 12:1-4. That's much better. Daniel chapter 12:1-4. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time. Well, first of all, let me just say, every once in a while, somebody will email me and try to educate me that Michael, the archangel Michael, is really Jesus Christ. And every time that I have heard that over the last 33 years, it is somebody who is a preterist, an amillennialist, or a Calvinist who is telling me that. Michael, the archangel Michael, is not Jesus Christ. And at that time, who is he? He's the archangel Michael. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as was never since there was a nation even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, keep your finger in Daniel chapter 12. We're going to be turning a lot of pages tonight. So I really need your focus and your concentration and your attention. From time to time, people will tell me that all of these things that Daniel talks about have already been fulfilled in the past. And they look at all the, like, on the last Bible study, we talked about the wars between Egypt and Syria. We talked about Alexander the Great and Seleucid, Ptolemy Macron, Antiochus Epiphanes. We talked about all that last week. And from time to time, people write to me and they tell me that there are no future prophecies, that everything has already been fulfilled, and God is just waiting for us to bring in the kingdom, and then Jesus is going to come back. That is not true. That is not even close to true. But don't take my word for it. I'm going to prove it to you right now. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Daniel says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as was never since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, not this time, at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Who is thy people? The Jewish people for Daniel. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now keep your finger there. Turn to Matthew 24 and look at verse 21. Matthew 24:21. This is about 585 years after Daniel has written down his prophecies. Jesus says, talking about a time that is yet future, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The language of Matthew 24, 21 is exactly the same as the language of Daniel 12, 1 that says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. So these prophecies of Daniel could not have been fulfilled from the time that Daniel wrote it to the time of Christ. Now, most prophecy has what we call a double application. And people like Alexander the Great and Nebuchadnezzar, they are types of Antichrist. And they did things historically. Historically, Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army, they attacked Israel, they attacked Jerusalem, they took the Jewish people captive. That happened historically. Historically, Alexander the Great rose up and united the kingdoms, and for a time being, it looked like Alexander the Great was going to conquer the entire world. And Alexander the Great is one of the people that Daniel prophesies about. But there is a historical application and there is a prophetical application. And we are still waiting for these prophecies from a spiritual perspective to be fulfilled. Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. We'll make a devotional application here in verse 3. God says that if you want to be wise, be a soul winner. If you want to be wise, tell people about the plan of salvation. Tell people that there is a God in Israel. Tell people that he sent his only begotten son, and he was crucified, died, and buried, and risen again on the third day, according to the scriptures. That's what God considers a wise person. And God says that these wise people shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So I want to talk for a couple of minutes tonight about knowledge being increased. Knowledge has been increased so much that you're likely not even aware of how much it has been increased. Back in 1982, there was a man by the name of Buckminster Fuller. He was an American architect, a systems theorist, author, designer, inventor, and he was a futurist. Buckminster Fuller coined the term knowledge doubling curve. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about this man named Buckminster Fuller. And he came up with something called the knowledge doubling curve. And very simply put, the knowledge doubling curve is something that when he looked at human history, when he looked at things that became readily available, remember back in school and they taught us about Eli Whitney and the cotton gin and Edison and all the inventions that he stole from Tesla. Well, they didn't tell you about that part. They just told you what a great inventor Edison was. But we're going to look at a couple of these inventions tonight. When Buckminster Fuller looked at the panoply of human history, he noticed that right up until about 1900, the available level of human knowledge doubled approximately every 100 years. So, from 1500 to 1600, the available global knowledge, what scientists discovered, what inventors created, means of transportation, all those things that we take for granted and never think about. He said that up till 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. But by the end of World War II, inexplicably, the advance of human knowledge had increased in speed four times. So now instead of doubling every 100 years, knowledge is doubling every 25 years. And now, with the advent of artificial intelligence and nanotechnology, they say that the available knowledge that is out there is doubling every 18 months, every year and a half. And with artificial intelligence, they think that it's going to get to the point where knowledge is going to double every 12 hours. Now, we are not at that point yet, but we are right around the point that human knowledge is doubling every 18 months to 2 years. And this is a phenomenon that other people have talked about, other people have noticed, and it is a very real, accurate thing. So I want to take you back for just a moment to the year 1750. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the inventors and the inventions of the Industrial Revolution. Now, I want to mention just a couple inventions to you that change people's lives as radically as the harnessing of electricity, the discovery of computers, the creation of the automobile, the airplane, you name it. Back in 1750, we have something called the Industrial Revolution. And one of the main things of this time, and it's highly antiquated today, but the creation of ingenious machines that made possible the mass production of high-quality cotton, woolen thread, and yarn, which helped to transform the world. About 1764, a man by the name of James Hargreaves, a poor, uneducated spinner and weaver living in Lancashire, England, conceived a new type of spinning machine that would draw thread from eight spindles simultaneously instead of one. The idea reportedly occurred to him after his daughter Jenny accidentally knocked over the family spinning wheel. The spindle continued to turn even as the machine lay on the floor. He obtained a patent for the spinning wheel in 1770. Then, in 1769, a water wheel was patented by a man named Richard Arkwright, and it was the very first automatic and continuously operating spinning machine. And all these things that I'm talking about were for the creation of textiles, fabric, to make shirts and boots and clothes and pants. Because before that, you had to have clothing made for you. There was no store that you could go in off the rack and pick out a pair of pants or pick out a shirt. You had to have clothing made for you. So back in the mid-1700s, they started to figure out, hey, we can make textiles 800 times faster than we could before with these machines. Then in 1765, a Scottish inventor by the name of James Watt, he perfected the Watt's steam engine. What did that lead to? That led to the steam locomotive. What did that lead to? That led to steamboats and steamships. And now the world is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. It took about 4 or 5 decades in the 1700s to make what we consider very antiquated updates. But what did it do for the people living at that time? It absolutely changed their life. Fortunes were made. New industries came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, nations began to become very prosperous. In the early 19th century, scientists in Europe and the United States explored the relationship between electricity and magnetism. In the 1820s and 30s, British scientist Michael Faraday demonstrated that passing an electric current through a coil of wire between two poles of a magnet would cause the coil to turn. Fast forward to people like Werner von Siemens, Joseph Swan, and later Thomas Edison. They finally figured out, they cracked the code, and they harnessed electricity. Almost immediately, they invented the telegraph and the telephone. You know where your desktop computer comes from? Your iPad, your laptop, your mobile device, all of that comes from the telephone. Every bit of that. If they didn't invent that telephone, they would never have invented the computer. And so the 1700s and the 1800s were an amazing time. You get to the end of the 1800s. Thomas Edison is making the first practical motion picture called The Great Train Robbery. Henry Ford is perfecting his car, and he is just years away from becoming one of the richest people in America and possibly one of the richest people in the entire world. And Henry Ford, if you were to see that 1895 car, it wouldn't even be considered a child's toy. But back in 1895, it revolutionized society around the world. And now you get into the 1900s. Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin invents the Zeppelin. Charles Seeberger invents the escalator. King Camp Gillette invents the first safety razor for shaving your face. Willis Carrier invents the air conditioner. George Claude invents the neon light. The lie detector test is invented by James McKenzie in 1902. The teddy bear, also 1902. 1903, the Wright brothers invent the first gas-motored and manned airplane. Mary Anderson invents windshield wipers, and William Coolidge invents ductile tungsten that is used in light bulbs. Now, you go on. I just took you from 1750 to 1905. What comes after 1905 is what they call the American century. It is the period of time that America rises to become a superpower, because all these inventors and all these scientists, they all want to come to America, and they came. And technology, it literally explodes. It started small, 1750, 1760, 1790, 1820, 1830, 1880, 1902, 1903, and now they're inventing unbelievable things. Now, if you get a cut and that cut gets infected, you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you a prescription for antibiotics. You take it, and in a few days, your infection is gone. You don't even think about it. You're bothered by the fact that you have to take out time of your busy schedule to go to the doctor. You're bothered by the fact that you have to remember to take these pills twice a day for 14 days or 7 days or whatever it is. But did you know that up until they invented penicillin, or discovered penicillin, stuff that nobody dies of today, hundreds of thousands of people died of? penicillin was an unbelievable discovery. It was life-changing. Al Capone died of a sexually transmitted disease called syphilis. Do you know that if he would have taken one antibiotic pill, his syphilis would have been gone in 24 hours, but instead he died a slow, long, lingering death from that disgusting, terrible disease? So, we live in a day and age, we're all the way up in 2024. We're all the way up at the end of the church age. We live in a time that there is so much happening and there are so many things being invented that unless it's something that is unbelievably spectacular, we just look at that, we yawn and say, well, I guess so. And we don't even give it another thought. The machines are getting ready to take over. That's how close that we are. We have to take our last break of the night, but when we come back, we have set the table and we are going to do a blisteringly fast look at 30 minutes of scripture showing you what it means when the Bible says that knowledge shall be increased. We'll be right back after this.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faith, the sword, my shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway, and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Back for the last half hour of our Bible study tonight. We are looking at the increase in knowledge. We are living in a time where we are witnessing a unprecedented and unbelievable increase in available knowledge. And you know what? When I was a kid, I used to dream about having a magic box that any question that I had, I could just turn this box on and I could ask this box whatever question that I had. If I wanted to know about geography or science or physics or anything. Didn't you ever dream about having a magic box that you could just ask it any question and the answer would come back immediately? Well, we live in that time period right now. And every single person, bar none, hands down, who is listening to this Bible study right now, you have that magic box in your possession. And all you have to do is say, hey, Siri, Hey Alexa, hey Google, who is the second president of the United States? How much is 5 times 842 to the second power? And the answer comes back nearly immediately. And we look at that. Everybody was fascinated when it first came out. I can remember back in high school, maybe 1976, 77. I don't remember the exact year. But I remember when they invented the pocket calculator. That caused every bit of, as much of a stir as when the first iPhone was released in 2007. You can't imagine the demand for the pocket calculator. And it was from Texas Instruments, and it had this really cool display that lit up in multiple shades of red and orange. And people would sit in front of that calculator from Texas Instruments endlessly, just typing in, you know, this times this, this divided by that. Everybody wanted to play with it. Everybody wanted to have one, but they cost $400 a piece. And I can remember when that little piece of technology was released. You don't even give that a second thought today, because a pocket calculator is just some silly little app on your phone. Every once in a while, I have to do some mathematical computations, and I'll pull up that app, and I don't even think about it. In fact, I didn't think about it until I'm talking about it right now. But there was a day and time when that was cutting-edge technology that people got excited about. Today, we're getting excited about robots. We're getting excited about androids. We're getting excited about things of technology that are just absolutely mind-boggling. We were walking through the mall the other day, and I have a picture here. I just want to share it. We were walking through the mall the other day, and it's the town center up in Jacksonville. And at the end of the mall, it's an outdoor mall. It's an upscale mall. And we just go up there for ice cream and hamburgers and stuff like that. But it's a great place to walk around. And so our kids wanted to go to see the Teslas, and they have all the latest models, and it's incredible. They have a Tesla now that's 1,000 horsepower, and it goes from 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds. And I turned to the salesman, and I says, wait a second, you're telling me that you have a Tesla that does 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds? He says, we absolutely do. And it comes with 1,000 horsepower. I mean, that just blew my mind. I didn't think that such a thing was possible outside of a race car. But this was just a high-end Tesla. Well, the real fascinating part of going to the Tesla showroom was looking at the Tesla robot at the front of the showroom. And I just posted a picture in the chat room of me with this Tesla robot. And people walking by, they don't give it a second thought. That's just the day and age that we live in. And you know what? If the Lord tarries, it's not going to be all that much longer where those robots are not going to be just mounted on a stand that people can take pictures with. In a very short period of time, those robots are going to be walking around. If the Lord tarries, we're going to go into a Tesla showroom. Now, we could never afford a Tesla. I would never want a Tesla. I would never purchase an electric vehicle unless I suddenly decided to take up golf and I needed a golf cart. But there's no chance of me playing golf either. I'm just simply saying that we have reached the point in society where you're about to see walking, talking robots. And maybe the next time that we go into the Tesla showroom to see what's new, instead of a salesperson, there's going to be a robot talking with me. I don't know. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know that most of the scientists that have made many of these incredible discoveries and inventions believed in evolution. They believed that we came from monkeys. They believed that there is no God, and if there is a God, he is not concerned about his creation. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. But Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And when we had this incredible explosion in discovery and invention that has so drastically changed human life and continues to change it on an ongoing basis, many of those inventors and discoverers are atheists. They don't believe in God. They're anti-God. They're God haters. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know, there was an oceanographer by the name of Matthew something or other, and I wrote about him a couple years ago. Let me just see if I can lay my hand. Yeah, here it is. Oceanographer Matthew Maury. And he was the very first person to discover ocean currents, and he did it by believing the King James Bible. So, even though the vast majority of scientists and inventors do not believe in God, every once in a while you get one of them who does believe in God. And Matthew Maury was one of those people. And just by reading and believing his King James Bible, he began to figure out that the ocean has circulating currents. Psalm 8, verses 8 and 9. The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Job 28, 25. Job 28, 25. To make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. In 1855, Maury wrote the first textbook on modern oceanography, called The Physical Geography of the Sea and Its Meteorology. In this work, Maury presented oceanography from a delightfully Christian perspective. He included biblical passages of meteorological and other scientific importance, such as the scripture that I just gave to you from Job 28:25, showing that the wind has weight. Einstein discovered that sunlight had weight, but it didn't bring him closer to the God of the Bible. Ecclesiastes 1:6, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that blow your mind? You think that was Solomon just making up poetry? This is Solomon giving you the wisdom of God. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And Ecclesiastes 1:6, Solomon tells you, you want to know about the wind and the waves? It all runs in circular paths. Matthew Morey understood about ocean currents, becoming the first person to discover them because he believed his King James Bible. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And then Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Turn to Ezekiel 28. And I want to show you a little something about Lucifer. We all know that God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom. And the Bible says that there was no man anywhere that had more knowledge, more wisdom than King Solomon. But I want to show you somebody who's not really a man. He presents as a man, but he's not really a man. Jesus says, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Who is he talking about? Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Lucifer was full of wisdom. But you know what Solomon said? Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Lucifer has a lot of wisdom. He has a lot of knowledge. You know what Lucifer doesn't have? He doesn't have an understanding of the book. He understands man. He's been observing us for the last 6,000 years. And Lucifer is very wise about a lot of things. But one thing that he is not knowledgeable about, and I know this for a fact, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Does Lucifer fear God? Turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. And what do we read in verse 13? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Does that sound like somebody who fears God to you? Lucifer didn't fear God at all. Satan does not fear God at all. Jesus Christ is going to put him in chains for 1,000 literal years during the millennium. The moment that he gets out of that prison, he is going to raise up an army, Revelation 20, and fight the battle of Gog and Magog. Satan has no fear of the Lord of any kind. And so that means that if you don't have the fear of the Lord, let's read Proverbs 1:7 from the opposite perspective. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So that implies that if you do not fear the Lord, you do not have any knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. For the Lord, Proverbs 2:6, giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You got to have wisdom. You got to have knowledge. And then you have to be able to understand it from God's perspective. If you try to understand the Bible from a human perspective, you wind up like the Greek and Hebrew scholars who every 8 months publish a new updated Bible translation that is worse than the one that came before it. That's what happens when you understand things from a human perspective, but not from God's perspective. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I promised you at the start of this Bible study, we were going to talk about Daniel 12:4. Let's go back to Daniel 12:4 for just a moment, and let's reread that scripture. And now that we've set the table, let me show you what it all means from the Bible's perspective. Daniel 12:4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, many shall run to and fro. I gave you the timeline from 1750 to 1903. I spent a few minutes on that timeline intentionally for you to understand how stuff came together and how it all came together within a 150-year period after about 5,700 years of human history. Nothing had changed for 5,700 years. And then in 150 years, it changes and changes and changes again. Shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. I can remember with my newspaper route, and every day after school, I would have to deliver 34 newspapers to 34 homes, and I'd have to do a Saturday edition as well. And that was one way that we got the news. Another way that we got the news was the 6 o'clock news. That was the big news. And at 6 o'clock, all the big stories that they were saving, and they made you gather around the TV. There were times where people used to have TV trays, and they were so anxious to find out what was going on at 6 o'clock that people would eat dinner in front of the TV waiting for the news. Well, you know what? You don't need a newspaper in 2024. You don't need the 6 o'clock news. You know what you have? You have social media where the moment that something happens anywhere in the world, somebody is posting about it on X or Instagram or Facebook. We have watched this entire war between Israel and Hamas take place in real time because everybody has mobile phones, everybody has camera phones, and all they have to do is take a video and post it online. You know what that means? I don't need to go to the Middle East to see what's going on. I don't need to go to Europe and France to find out what Macron is doing. I can travel without ever leaving my chair. I have the internet. I have social media. I have a fiber optic connection. I can travel the entire world in an instant without ever leaving my house. Many shall run to and fro. And you thought that that just applied to the invention of the automobile and the airplane and the rocket ship and all those other things. No. It applies to the internet. It applies to how we have reconfigured our entire world around computers. Remember when people were afraid to do mobile banking? Now you can't do banking without mobile banking. Shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We live in a day and age since 1750 where knowledge has increased to the point that we are learning and discovering new things faster than we can talk about them. I had one article pulled up. I don't think I can put my hands on it, but it was about a specific type of, let me just see if I can find it here. It was about a specific type of scientific research. And they calculated that last year there were 66,500 articles written on this particular topic. And it would take the average human being, if you wanted to read every one of those 64,500 articles, and if you sat down and read them one after the other, it would take you 40 years to read those articles. That isn't even 1/1000th of 1% of the information that's available online on the internet. And knowledge has increased to such a level that now we are watching artificial knowledge and artificial intelligence. We are reaching what futurists call singularity, transhumanism. And it is happening while we watch. These things are taking place before our very eye. Elon Musk said a number of years ago that the moment that you start carrying that mobile device everywhere you go, you have become a partial cyborg because you are dependent on this computer-driven device that you carry with you. It's a very small step to get that device implanted in your body. And in fact, Elon Musk has been making great strides with his microchip brain implant company called Neuralink. And he is working on that. Why are all these tech billionaires so fascinated by injecting us with chemicals and mRNA and microchips? Why do they want to do these things? Well, Annette says the pandemic did it. The pandemic absolutely did it. And now you know why the pandemic was created. It wasn't just to inject everybody with mRNA, gene editing technology. It was to create a system by which you would willingly submit your personal freedom for the greater good. Anytime you hear people talking about the greater good, they're a dictator. And what they want to do when they say the greater good, they don't have your good in mind. They are looking to subjugate you. They are looking to make you into a slave. Bill Gates has been feverishly funding quantum dot vaccinations that use something called luciferase, or as I like to say, luciferase. And you see in the images that I just posted to the chat room, what does that look like? It looks like a glowing red X. That's exactly what it looks like. Somebody named HJN says, the singularity describes a hypothetical future where technology growth is out of control. Intelligent and powerful technologies will radically and unpredictably transform our reality. You can strike that word hypothetical. You are living in the singularity. It is not coming. It is here. And of course, you have God's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In closing, turn to Revelation 13. Turn to Revelation 13, verse 5. Revelation 13, verse 5. Talking about Antichrist. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Lots of wisdom, lots of knowledge. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then look down. Verse 13, talking about the second beast, the false prophet. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. We live in a day and age of images, projections, pictures, devices. Everything your King James Bible told you to avoid, everything your King James Bible warns you about. All these things are removed in the NIV, the ESV, the Legacy Standard Bible, the Passion Translation, the Cipher Translation, Good News for Modern Man, you name it, they've taken it out. They've even taken out most of these references from the New King James Bible. And this is where we are. This is the type of knowledge that precedes the arrival of Antichrist. Where are we in the timeline? We are in the closing seconds of the church age. We are so close to getting out of here that we are watching an unsaved world, inventing things, creating things, discovering things, and using all of these things to prepare themselves to receive the short-lived 7-year kingdom of the coming Antichrist. And that is what Daniel meant when he says in Daniel 12:4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You have never lived in a time of such exploding and increasing knowledge. It happens so fast, and there's so much of it that you have forgotten what happened last week and last month and 6 months ago and 2 years ago. Do you know that we have just under 11,000 articles on our NowTheEndBegins.com website? And you can go to that website and punch in just about anything you want to learn about in relationship to the end times, and it's highly likely that we've written about it. We have chronicled the whole thing. Spend some time on NowTheEndBegins.com. Go through the search box and remind yourself of some of the things that you have forgotten that have already happened. That's how close to the end we really are. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you have given us knowledge and wisdom and understanding because we fear your name. And Lord, we don't want that knowledge from the Antichrist. We don't want that otherworldly alien knowledge. We don't want that transhumanism, singularity junk. We don't want artificial intelligence. I'll never put on a pair of virtual reality or augmented reality goggles. I don't want to spend 1 second in that hellhole. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Lord, we just look to you to lead us and guide us through these murky times and help us to keep our eye on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. And we just thank you and praise you in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. So glad that you're a part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. If you have an interest, go to our YouTube channel and listen to the sermon from this morning. And the sermon is entitled Jesus Christ as Prophet, Priest, and King. And I promise you that it will be a blessing for you. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, noon Eastern time, for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
Rather have Jesus and let him. Jesus than anything this world affords today, than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world.